I did like the countdown last time, but we're actually already streaming, which is actually really funny because on the last episode I did, I was like 3, 2, 1. Oh shit, we're already recording. So I'm gonna do the same thing. We've been recording for 12 seconds. How's everyone doing tonight? Welcome back to the channel. Welcome back to the podcast. This is Dark Temp 66, aka Joe. We are talking about best ways to invest your money in an emerging market affected by COVID-19. Guys, talk. Joking. We're talking about Syndicate today. Something that I don't know. Imagine, right? Well, we're talking about Syndicate, so we got to be talking about the economy and commerce. But
we're Syndicate, talking about how CDPR always manages to take our money during COVID.
Yes, listen, CDPR, if you are listening, we have no problem accepting Cyberpunk keys after this. Anyways, but yes, we're talking about Syndicate. Looking at some of the reports, especially the ones that CD Projekt Red puts out, it looks like Syndicate continues to be the lowest played card set. And I think we talked about it a little bit before that maybe it's just because it's so different, because it has a completely different, I guess you could say, scenario to playing the cards and why it's not played as much. But let's talk about Syndicate, guys. So best cards to make, go for it.
Passiflora.
Passiflora, right? So what's Passiflora for those who don't know?
It's a scenario artifact, and it allows you to spawn two cards to the game, as well as give you pretty much a full, you know, bag of coins, right? So it really helps with your spenders and getting extra engines on the board.
Philippa's my number one.
Yeah, Philippa's crazy. So Philippa is a card that you play the amount of coins equal to the power of the unit you want to seize from your opponent. So, I mean, that... I could do all sorts of craziness.
Yeah. I mean, I would say next, too, you definitely want to make the Flying Redanian. That ship just never seems to stay away.
So Flying Redanian, again, for some people who don't know.
I got one more big one. Novigradian Justice. It's huge because you could play it in either Scoia'tael or Syndicate. So it's a very versatile card. It only costs 10 provision, and it adds up to 3 cards to the game.
Yeah.
That's true. Symbosis is running wild with that one right now.
Oh, 100%, yeah, because the volunteers are buffed. But it does play pretty well in a crime deck, too.
So does it sound a dumb remark to say that almost that Syndicate kind of resembles a little bit of, like, NG to where it relies on Masquerade Ball?
I mean... if we're going to put it like that, then yeah, it does, because Hidden Cash... does, you know, rely on Passiflora.
But then I guess if you talk about the new Fire Swarm mechanic, right, it doesn't rely on a scenario card. But then at the same time, does Nilfgaard rely on a scenario if it's milled? Or if it's, let's say, like a spy deck? Spy soldier deck?
Yeah, but if it's... I mean, like I said, we're not hating against NG, but like NG has never been competitive without Masquerade Ball.
Stop that.
I just think Syndicate suffers with a lot of its leader abilities. I find, you know, some of the ones that don't even offer a lot of provision don't really give us a great effect. I think the greatest effects that you have would be Hidden Cash or Congregate from a leader ability. So it deters people from playing the other ones.
Yeah, I mean, I was pretty disappointed with Pirate's Cove. Like, when that came out, I was like, okay, that's disappointing.
And you saw, I tried that for a few hours on stream, and it wasn't working at all. I don't think we won many games.
Yeah, like, if there was any faction that deserved a pirate upgrade, it should have been Skellige, honestly. Yeah,
there's sure. a lot of comments coming in around Syndicate. You know, someone bringing up Saul. That's a fantastic card. I mean, it pretty much has three different Horde 3, Horde 6, Horde 9. As it goes up by 3, you boost yourself by 1, 2, or 3. So it can get really out of control if your opponent's holding on to their 9 coin max. They're getting... reboost a turn, which can get kind of nuts, especially if they're pairing it with Tiger's Eye, which gives them 4 coins right out the gate. So it can get kind of crazy.
So another thing too is, I mean, it's not as reliable as Oniromancy, but a lot of people are going back to it. But I would say Vivaldi Bank as well.
Well, Vivaldi Bank seems to be the other big one too.
The meta report has both of them in there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm going to hit you guys. So, I've been watching a lot of Trinet, and obviously, since we're talking Syndicate, Trinet's the Syndicate faction ambassador. Yep. But Trinet has this thing called data-driven gaming, And if you guys have never checked it out, I'll hand you the link to it. But it's fantastic. It takes all of Gwent's public profiles and it takes the data and it breaks it down by top 100 pro ladder, top 20 pro ladder, and its win rates by faction, and then top 100 recent games. And then it'll break down what the win rate is and what the play rate is. And it's always kind of interesting to just keep checking in on it. But right now, in top 100 pro ladder, Syndicate's at a 13% win rate and a 58% win rate. Okay, by comparison, so 13% play rate, 58% win rate. Number one is Northern Realms, 17% play rate, 60% win rate. Skellige is actually number one. So it's a 20% play rate with a 62% win rate. Then you got Northern Realms with a 17% play rate, 60% win rate. Then it goes Scoia'tael, 21% play rate, 57% win rate. Then you got Syndicate coming in at number four. It's at, like I said, 13 and 58%. Then you've got Monsters at 14% and 57% win rate. Mm-hmm. And then all the way in last place with 12% play rate and 54% win rate is poor old Nilfgaard. So, you know,
the great sun struggles
you know, so
behind the clouds.
Here's the thing.
Syndicate, we got them right where we want them.
People are really only paying attention to that top three, but I would tell you I just used Syndicate to get into pro rank. I beat everything. The only thing I couldn't beat with Syndicate was I had no problem with Patch of Sight of Fury. It was Rage of the Sea. That version of the deck I couldn't beat with my Syndicate deck. But I worked over Monsters, Scoia'tael, and Northern Realms with it. So just because it's a four tier faction, you know, doesn't mean it has bad matchups.
Do you think it's because people don't understand how the deck is played because it's not played a lot?
You know, first of all, I will tell you this. If you're a new player, you know, I think it's the hardest faction to actually get cards for, you know. Yeah. It was the last faction that because I always heard it was the hardest to play. So I focused on every other faction. I literally just finished, you know, I'm what 350 hours in this, 400 hours in this game, and I just finished my Syndicate card list, you know, a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
I mean, if you look at it too in the card collection, Syndicate actually has the most cards out of all the factions. It's got 186 cards.
Yeah. So I think most players are focusing on building out that faction because I think 90% of the kids or people probably buy faction associated kegs. Mm-hmm. So think about that. If you're picking, okay, I'm working on this faction, next. Well, I think that's always going to leave Syndicate at the back of the line because most people understand Syndicate to be the hardest to play.
Yeah. So if we were talking, because the podcast, I mean, it's focused on a lot of different things. One of the big things is to make the game a little bit more accessible for people who are new to the game and don't know where to look. What would you recommend for those trying, they're like, hey, I want to play like the Zerg, like of StarCraft, right? I want to play the hardest thing in Gwent. What are some of the recommendations you would have for them or what cards to make? Yeah, you know, we talked about Passiflora. We talked about Waldy Bank, Philippa.
You know. Like I said, we have Tiger's Eye. Like I said, Tiger's Eye is a stratagem for Syndicate. So, I mean, it's an easy 4 coins right off the start should you get blue coin.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you know, Tiger's Eye with combination of Hidden Cash, that's an easy 7 coins first round that pulls out ship and that sets up for anything else that you want to play right off the start. If you play a straight Urchins, that's max coins right there. You do miss out on one coin, but, you know, that's an easy way to max out your bag. You definitely got to consider putting in the Czar. He's the defender for Syndicate.
Yeah, it's a great card.
Yeah, 3 profit, and then you pay 3 tribute and spawns 2 defenders, or you just deny the tribute and he still spawns at least a 1 defender, you know. And granted, they are very weak at a 1 power and a 1 armor, but the fact that they have 2 defenders versus any other faction only having 1, it does make up for it.
I think something that involves a little bit of, you know, thinking would be a little bit tricky to play for newcomers to the game and to the faction, but I kind of like the blood money idea for the leader ability. You're basically getting a bunch of the cut up lackeys out there, and you're just playing a bunch of crime cards in order to allow them to deal damage to the opponents. There are interesting cards that you could go and look to essentially make copies of the lackey. I know there's a couple cards. Is it Ulrich or Ez? But yeah, so you could spawn, you know, up to four of these lackeys at least at a time and just start playing down crime cards. You can even finish it up with a big gourd at the end. I know a lot of people are doing that for Scoia'tael, but I enjoy doing it with Syndicate. So that's an option.
I see Lewis is saying something how the old Scarabs had two armor and he's even granted three coins as their death wish. That's nuts. I never knew that.
Have you seen...
before my time.
Am I, like, really fucking far behind, but have you seen this deck that uses Kikimor Warriors to eat the flyer in Meridanian?
Bro, oh, yeah. I did that on a stream. It was sick.
Yeah, he was running that. I was like, wait, that's a thing?
So I'm far behind that. Okay.
And then you saw it working.
Yeah, it was hilarious because he kept coming back as long as he had the seven coins.
I love merging factions when the card goes both ways. Like, I just like to try every way to do it. So.
I just discovered this. And I'm like, wait a second.
It's hilarious.
And when Syndicate now has Ethereal basically in its deck.
Look at this.
Because they nerfed the old cash, right? And that was kind of like a way to get it back, you know?
Yeah.
It works like maybe 40% of the time, not always.
40% of the time.
Because it has to land in the same row, correct?
Mm-hmm. Okay. No, it does not
land in the same row. Doesn't?
It just destroys an allied unit no matter where it's at.
Oh, no matter where?
Spawn. Exactly. Yeah, and it'll spawn a copy in the row that it destroyed.
Okay. But the reason why I say it doesn't work most of the time is because if they just kill Kiki, then you're screwed, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Hey, what's your boy's opinion on the Fire Swarm? That seems to actually be the number one deck Syndicate right now. And I played it, and I you know what? I did awful with it.
Yeah. Same. Practicing. Go ahead, sorry.
When I first saw it come out, I was like, I think this is going to be really powerful. But I think it's just sometimes these things come out and people don't play it because it's something they don't like about it. So nobody plays it. And then somebody builds a crazy deck with it and everyone's like losing their fucking shit. You know, like it's like with Northern Realms. Everyone's like, oh, Northern Realms isn't powerful. And then Shield Wall came out. Or like when Nilfgaard got, not Imposter, what was it called? You know, to be able to lock twice, everyone was freaking out about that, and nobody plays Nilfgaard. So I think it's people don't understand how everything balances. But I think it's a strong, it could be a really strong deck. So I'm looking at it with it, a lot of people play it with Herald, or is that a different deck I'm looking at? Fire Swarm. Yeah, congregate deck with Herald Gord with Excommunication, Fallen Knights. Tavern Brawl, Furka the Sculptor, Karathi's being... Jesus.
It's all over the place.
What is going on?
It's definitely a non-devotion list for that.
It works 40% of the time.
Yeah, you want to run a devotion list for Firesworn because Ulrich will benefit the most, and then you have Jox, who's just insanely powerful for a round three card.
So the top broken infinite money Zealot deck is not a devotion level deck because it plays Karathi Heatwave and one Iromancy and Royal Decree. So in case you guys didn't know, devotion essentially means that you have to play every card in your deck that you make has to be a part of that specific faction. So for instance, if you don't play, you know, a devotion monster deck and you play Conqueror, the moment you put it out, it'll go away. I've learned that a couple times, you know, but yeah. Yeah, so that's what devotion means.
So, I mean, if we want to move on to Forest One, we know that Sacred Flame is going to be the go-to card right now because of the huge buff it got in the most recent, you know, season. You know, or it's almost at the end of this season, but Sacred Flame has got an insane buff. I would say it's definitely one of the win conditions for that deck now.
I just couldn't get it to pop.
Yeah,
it spawns a Fire Sworn on both sides of the card. It's basically like a mini portal, except it only spawns, you know, the Zealots. And then it's an order card as well, or artifact. And then it also boosts all allied Fire Sworn units by one. So, like, Sacred Flame along with Disarray That's however many tokens you have out. That could easily be between 20 to 30 points just off of two cards.
Yeah, we've seen like the 30, 40 point swing in the matter of two turns at the end of the game. You think you're in a spot where it's a win, and then this stuff happens. So it is frustrating to play against.
Yeah, and then we have the Fallen Knight, who just recently came out with Master Mirror. And that guy is, for a six provision card, he can get up there, you know, really quickly with how many engines that are capable of putting out, you know, the tokens in Firesworn. We have...
How powerful is Tavern Brawl, though? I mean, if you don't play around it, you know, for 7 points, the removal that Tavern Brawl, you know, Tavern Brawl can put on is can be insane.
So what's Tavern Brawl?
Tavern Brawl pits two of, so basically, you put two enemy cards and they duel each other. So you can get, you know, basically a smaller card to take out a bigger card, but they both damage each other in the process. So it can play for big points.
Yeah,
if you're boosting up tall.
I most often get its provision back in value, but usually when people see your list, they see, you know, you're coming into a game, they expect there might be one in there, so it's hard to really get more than 7 or 8 points. But it's an awesome removal for an engine, right?
I mean, I would say that if it came down to it, I would think a Tavern Brawl would take out maybe a Selkirk and Anansi's at the same time.
Well, the one big card, you're right, I didn't mention, but they have to be adjacent to each other. So that's, you can't just pick any two units on the board. They have to be next to each other.
Yep.
And that's a big condition that lowers its, you know, power down.
Yeah, so looking at through the Syndicate decks that are posted, I see Boneyard that you have one you posted 19 hours ago, the Passiflora Party. Why don't you explain your deck?
Yeah, so, you know, like it was a late push into pro this season for me since I didn't get to play much last month. So I used a hidden cash list. It was off meta. It wasn't the full meta list. I didn't have Heatwave in mine or Bank, but I used Passiflora. The big condition on mine was it borrows a little bit. It has Lieutenant in it. So Lieutenant's a Fire Sworn who basically he works a little bit like Frigate. You pop him on the ground and he spawns a Firestorm Zealot. So you use that along the round. It combos pretty big with Sal and Idki for boosting coins up, and then, you know, you put Defender down in round three and try to get your Passiflora to pop off. I had a pretty good win rate with it. It said it got me all the way through rank two and one.
Nice. Yeah, I'm looking at it right now.
Your knock in there. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, I would say, you know, Von Hurst, it pairs the best with Fallen Knights. And if I could share my deck, this is what I'm running right now for my Firesworn deck.
Yeah.
It's a devotion build, but I'm really enjoying it.
Yeah, I'm looking at some of the different syndicates. It's going to kind of be all over the place, which is kind of cool too. So we talked about other cards we think we need to talk about. We talked about Vincey yet. Vincey Blummerholt, it's a great card.
Oh, yeah, for every coin you get, she gets boosted by one.
That's a lot of fun with Imp behind a Defender.
Yep. Yeah, I can get all sorts of crazy. What else?
All right, so, yeah, let me share this for you guys. Y'all could see this in the chat. I'll post it in Dark's channel.
So you've had good luck with Firesworn, Ezra?
Yeah, I've actually been winning a pretty few. I think I've won 3 games in a row right now. Oh, nice. Like I said, I'm pushing to rank 1, so I'm pretty close.
Nice.
But yeah, this is what I've been running, and it's been working for me. And I just got most of these cards today, so it's paying off right off the start.
Yeah, I think that's my problem with Syndicate is I have like no cards for it. I tried to make a Firestorm deck a couple times, and I was like, oh.
Yeah, like Igor is working, incredible for me. Whether I have the 5 coins in my bank or I just use Insanity on him, he'll spawn another Fallen Knight for me, and I can have up to 4 to 5. One off of Ulrich, then my 2 base Fallen Knights,
And like I said, I'll try to get more coins for him to spit out more, and then I'll either swing with Inquisitor or Jox.
Yeah.
Or save a Congregation, which spawns even more tokens, and then my Fallen Knights are just getting out of control. I'll split them up between the melee and the ranged row, so that way I'm not getting subjected to, you know, a mass Yurden player or something.
Mm-hmm. What are you playing the Prophet into? I see you have it to give shield.
Actually, what's kind of cool is this, just like the little mechanic that I found out with the engineering solution. So if you play Ulrich and then next to the left of Prophet, and then you will spawn a copy of Fallen Knight, it'll actually put a shield on Fallen Knight with the veil.
I don't think anyone's doing that. That's actually solid, man.
Yeah, like it's just like another little cheese, I guess, that works, you know, putting shields on veil units, because the veil has to apply after it's played. So Prophet's effect is going to resolve first.
Yeah. So outside of like Fire Swarm and Hidden Cache, is like there really anything else of a Syndicate that we haven't talked about?
I mean, we have the Evolving Leader. We know we have Jox. Jox is probably their biggest swing guard when it comes to actually one of the most viable leader guards now, since, you know, most of them did get a nerf nerf in provision and power, or buff in provision. Well, I wouldn't say buff, but you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They all went up by one and all went down by one power, I think.
But Jock plays for what? Is it
12
points plus an engine that you could pump coins into, or?
Yeah, he could play up, I think, if we're going to go off of the four coins that he puts down, he starts off at a six, spawns two tokens, so that's 10. So he starts off with 14.
I'm talking about just raw power. So he puts out 13 power, right?
Yeah.
Six, four, and four, or three and three. And then every Fire Swarm card you play, we get a coin. So we're able to, assuming devotion or, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, because I would never play him, you know, with zero coins in my bank, because that just makes, just, you know, it just negates the whole keeping him alive after.
That's right, yeah.
So what's Syndicate's worst matchup?
Definitely NR. Shield Wall for sure, because it just takes out their Fallen Knights. It'll take out their engines, just like how NR relies on engines as well.
NG is tough.
Yeah.
If you're running cash. If you're running Congregate.
Yeah. Just because of all the lock.
Exactly. The locks and the poisons on the tall units. Nothing gets really tall in Congregate, right? It's more of a swarm, so you don't have to worry too much about, you know, they put Masquerade Ball down and what, kill a couple tokens? Everything else has Veil, so you have one target for, I guess, Vincent, but that's about it, really.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's not like Vincent can destroy every status unit.
Are you talking about Syndicate in general's weakest part?
Yeah,
Firesworn.
I think Syndicate in general. Even like... Or even like Hidden Cache or Fire Swarm, like specific factions.
Yeah, I would say NG would be hard, because you're right. Especially running a Simulate deck, there's all those boosty bronzes that they got, or in a more poison that they could copy and send right back at you.
Yeah, I think NG would be a tough matchup.
Yeah. So, I mean, what do you guys got anything else around Syndicate? I think we haven't talked about.
If you don't play it, try playing it.
Yeah.
If you do play it, get better at it so more people will play it. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the crime deck is fun too. Like, even if we're going to go with crime, the crime build, you're going to want to run Orson Senior. You know, he's going to turn any adjacent units to the left and right of him, you know, into more cut-up lackeys. And then you have your own cut up lackeys in your deck. So you could be running quad cut up lackeys, and for every crime card you play, what is that? That's going to be hitting for 3 damage each.
Yeah. How do you, that's a good point brought by a couple people watching. A Fallen Knight cannot be poisoned, nor can it be locked. So how would you deal with Fallen Knight playing Nilfgaard?
Nilfgaard can use Vincent, right? It's just an instant kill.
Yeah, but playing on a bronze, that would be a.
It boosts high. It'll hit 17 points in no time.
Yeah,
it'll get to 25 sometimes.
Yeah.
But they got two of them.
Yeah, that's true.
Exactly. Yeah.
What the fuck, man?
Another card that I love They changed the effect to a different card, but Horsen's Freak Show is awesome. If there's any people that like to play damage decks, I mean, you get to funnel coins into this card and damage whatever you want on demand. It's really powerful. The pitfall is keeping it alive, but I did like with this patch, they've added one armor. So that helps a bit.
You know, that's interesting. Crime plays almost as much control as Nilfgaard does. It is such a control-heavy deck.
Isn't Horsome Freak Show the one with the that's an awesome premium, doesn't it?
Yeah, so with the clown laughing in your face.
Yeah, yeah. Such a good premium. I needed a premium. I only have
that, as soon as I saw like that Horsome Freak Show got that buff and basically became the new Ewald Basordi, I was like, okay, I made that premium that day. I was like, I never used it before that because it wasn't that great. Like, and then, you know, Borsodi is now just a tech for Horse. Like, they both, either one has to be in the graveyard for the other to benefit.
Yeah. I found out mid-game when I went and just played a Syndicate list, and I'm like, why isn't this card doing what I want it to do? And then I realized, man, it changed totally. So I had to go and swap it after to Horsens. It was bad.
Yeah.
Hey, real quick, and I know you do a whole podcast on this, but we're getting close to patch day. Does anybody have predictions?
I don't even want to think about it, to be honest with you. I feel like I'm so lost with it, and and the whole like arena thing going away is just
a lot of changes coming.
And I'm just wondering what they're kind of thinking. So I don't, because they came out and pretty much said that shield wall, they don't feel like they should touch shield wall, which I think is fucking ridiculous.
No, not a hot fix. They just weren't going to hot fix it. It's going to get touched.
Okay, so they weren't going
to
hot fix it.
They just didn't work. They just had no hot fix. It wasn't bad enough to hot fix, but it is going to get it's going to get buffed. It's going to get.
Well, I think
I would say probably they're most likely going to knock a charge off. It'll probably give two.
So I think they need to knock a charge off, increase some provisions here and there, because like I said, that deck, the mana curve is absolutely provision. I call it mana curve. Sorry. The provision curve is absolutely perfect. I mean, and they're such low cost cards that people bring it up. They don't do good in a short round, but it's like, there's just so much to deal with. Like I deal with Selkirk. I got to deal with War Elfin. I got to deal with Prince Anseas. I got to deal with fucking just everything. Like it's just, it seems like
Corvo.
Yeah, so many things to deal with, and then now you're giving me cards that have Veil. You're giving me cards that have Shield. It just gets, crazy.
If we're talking Syndicate, I think what they should do is go in and pump up the Pirate's Cove. Whether they give it 17 provision instead of 15, or they make it a bit nicer, maybe a higher profit or something, just to make it a bit more interesting. Because since it came out, it's like people are playing it. I've tried it for jokes, right? You know, I don't think it really has what it needs to compete. So
What I would love to see them do with Arena, talking about just coming up, and I don't know how you would actually really do it, but like almost like a Magic booster draft, to where like you open a booster, you open a set of cards with a group of people, and you have to pass. You know, you take the best card out of that. And that booster, and then you pass it to the right kind of thing. I don't know how you would do that in Arena, but maybe something along those lines.
I think they already showed like on Reddit, like about what draft mode would look like.
Oh, they did. Okay. So
It looks very weird. Like it looks literally like I'm going to play fantasy football in Gwent. Like they're basically going to like have it broken down by teams.
Okay.
I think the one thing that I think that, you know, Arena lacks anyway is any sort of synergy. It's just so RNG based that it kind of like you can almost build a deck and just cancel it out right before you even play it based on, you know, how you draw.
Yeah. Yeah, but I guess we'll see kind of how it goes. Got a couple people saying they discussed some of the Arena changes on the Merchants of Novigrad, which is another really good podcast if you guys haven't listened to it. There's a lot of good content out there, but we're trying to focus more on some newer players and making it a little bit more accessible. So, yeah, good call out. But if you guys don't have anything else, I think we're good, right? What's the next episode? Are we going to focus on – what do we have left? We have Scoia'tael.
We have Scoia'tael, we have
Northern Realms, right? And Nilfgaard.
Nilfgaard, yep.
Yeah.
You want to go for Nilfgaard?
Wait till after the patch to give your boys some love. All right.
So, guys, thanks again for joining us. We really appreciate it. Well, we're going to leave the in the comment section, we'll leave the links to the streamers. Please support them as much as you can. If you guys want to be a part of the podcast, there's ways for you to do it. We do have a Discord channel. We also have some opportunities to join. But, guys, thank you again so much for joining us. You guys all have a fantastic night. Peace.
All right, thanks.
Where's the stop button? Now I have to edit that out.